Markets have more to think about than healthcare, thankfully. For Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. As bad as the dysfunction in D.C. is, and it's bad, there are actual economic and financial numbers coming out that markets are digesting. With us to talk about that is Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, right, markets have some actual economic results to think about right now to maybe distract them from healthcare.
This is the first week of earnings season, as we call it. So companies are out talking about how they did in the second quarter, what those company earnings look like, talking about the most recent quarter, but also, importantly, their outlook for the coming year. So far, we're seeing some pretty good reports. We've had a lot of the big banks report, and those numbers seem to be holding their own. That's a good indicator of the underlying strength of the economy. And overall, right now, managements are coming out speaking positively on their outlook for the year and how they feel their businesses are doing.
Meanwhile, we got a very promising housing starts number out this morning, up 8% month over month, 1.2 million new housing starts. What's that telling us?
Housing starts and building permits came out this morning, both of them up around 8% month over month. This is the June data. That was a nice bump to have because the prior month, May's data was a little bit soft, and that was actually a decline. The fact that we're going to have some new homes out there for purchase implies housing sales are going to be up. That's a critical number for participants in the market because they like to see that. With those sales comes a lot of additional purchases, whether it's appliances or furniture. It puts a lot of money back into circulation in the economy, and that's a big help.
All right. Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Between Russia and healthcare, you'd be forgiven for not knowing that it's Made in America Week at the White House. The Trump administration is spotlighting American-made products and industries. The president has made reviving domestic American manufacturing a signature issue. Marketplace's economics contributor Chris Farrell has been thinking about this and joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Chris, do you see a manufacturing revival happening in the U.S.?
Yes, I think there absolutely is a manufacturing revival. It's somewhat subdued. It's subtle. Nevertheless, there are shifts in the global economy, developments in the high-tech world, and the fact, the reality of cheap energy that are painting a promising future for American manufacturing.
But I mean, China, for example, is not going anywhere. They're still the world's, you know, manufacturing epicenter, right?
Absolutely. But as this global economy has emerged and companies have created these global supply chains, in recent years, they've been rethinking and reimagining these global supply chains. For one thing, as the Boston Consulting Group has pointed out, you know, in China, you have years of 15%, 20% increases in labor costs. So the advantage of American manufacturers going to China has eroded. But then there are other factors. As companies begin to realize, you know, we want to be closer to our customer. And so the cliche words these days, instead of globalization, it's regional. So this global economy and these global supply chains are being rethought into more local and regional chains.
So manufacturing revival, but not like back to the golden age of manufacturing.
No, and not everything's going to be made in America. When you look at a manufactured good, it's going to have supplies from Asia, Europe, the United States, but increasingly, the product will be made here.
Marketplace's economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Comic-Con, the annual San Diego Comic Convention, where people dress up and talk about comic-related things, gets underway today. It is the event in the world of superheroes and comics, and it's a good year in that world. Wonder Woman and Justice League are creating a lot of buzz. Wonder Woman was a great movie. But how exactly does Comic-Con convert hype and buzz about someone else's movies into money for itself? Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
Comic-Con makes money selling tickets, renting floor space to vendors and exhibitors, getting sponsors. GuideStar tracks nonprofits and puts the most recently available revenue at about $19 million, which is more than its expenses. Jacob Harold is president and CEO of GuideStar. He says Comic-Con's seen 15% growth year over year for 17 years. How? The power of pop.
Here we have essentially an arts organization, an arts nonprofit, that over its 40-year history has watched its chosen art form become this central part of popular culture.
The convention brings tourism dollars. Miro Kopic teaches marketing at San Diego State.
Over $150 million to the southern San Diego region.
And its reach is further, says Rob Salkowitz. He wrote the book Comic-Con and the Business of Pop Culture.
It's given rise to an entire industry of other events. Work that I've done calculates that to have an economic impact of around $3 to $4 billion per year.
And he says the industry's growing. We're not at peak geek yet. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Think your rent is high? Try $130,000 a month. That's what the U.S. government is paying to lease space in Trump Tower for the military's office in the building, according to the Wall Street Journal. The government signed a $2.39 million lease for this space from April to September of next year, even though the president has not spent the night there since becoming president. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.